The following message was given at Trinity Bible Church in Powell, Wyoming.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we have just confessed, you have revealed these wonderful truths to us. They have become wisdom to us. They are foolishness to those who are perishing, foolishness to the hypocrite, but they are your wisdom to us who were dead in our trespasses and sins, in desperate need of salvation, seeing the greatness of our sin and misery. And in wonderful wisdom, you have sent your Son to be crucified for us under Pontius Pilate, to be dead, to be buried, to be raised again. We are so grateful for this. You are coming again. You are coming again to judge both the living and the dead. Your kingdom will have no end. How we long for that. And we think of our brothers and sisters across the world who are suffering, particularly in Afghanistan. We're so thankful that they have a hope that surpasses that of this world. Indeed, the world is not worthy of them. And many of them have gone to be with you in peace. We pray for those who remain. We pray that they would persevere in the faith. We do ask that your church would flourish as a result of the persecution. We are so grateful, O Lord, that you have gathered us here this afternoon to feed us. We need to be fed your word as we consider the Lord's Prayer here. We ask that you would richly bless us, that you would give us comfort and peace in Christ, and that we, as a result, would walk in your commandments. We would trust you, and that out of gratitude we would serve you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it's been a while since we've been in the catechism. It's actually been about a month now, and we're at question 144. Now, if you remember, the catechism is split up into three parts. The first part is of man's sin and misery that we know from the law of God. The second part is of man's redemption, how God has accomplished our redemption by sending his Son. That redemption has been fully accomplished. It has been paid in full. And we are just waiting for the final installment of that in glorification, which he has promised he will do. So we rest in Christ. And because of what he has done for us, we respond in gratitude, which is the third part. How do we show our gratitude to God? Well, we keep his commandments and we go to him in prayer, which is part of our dependence. And one of the chief ways that we show our gratitude in praising him. We've been going through the Lord's Prayer, which has six petitions. The first pertains to God's name, hallowed be your name. The second pertains to God's kingdom, your kingdom come. The third, your will be done. And then there's a shift to focus on our physical and spiritual needs. The fourth petition is for God to meet our daily needs, daily bread. The fifth is our daily need for forgiveness. And the sixth is our ongoing need of sanctification, to be delivered from temptation and the evil one. Today we are looking at the fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread. When we pray for our food, it's usually when the food's set before us, and we're giving God thanks for the meal that he has provided, which is a good thing to do. But how many of us wake up in the morning and say, oh Lord, give me this day daily bread? How many of us really wake up anxious that whether or not we're going to eat today? It's really something that we are not worried about. Now, I did hear a story of one such couple that woke up worried where they were going to get food one day. And they had an orphanage. It was in a rural area. And they didn't have any food. And so they didn't know what to do, so they simply prayed and asked God to provide for them. And lo and behold, there was a knock on the door, and it was a food delivery truck that had broken down, and the food was going to perish because it wasn't going to have any help coming to him. And so he asked, you know what, I don't want to see this food go to waste. Would you like this food? You know, that's a pretty remarkable story, and there's many stories like it. And we hear a story like that and we say, clearly this was divine intervention. It was a God thing. However, the food in front of you each meal is also a God thing. God did not cease to work in his providence every time you were provided a meal. Every ordinary provision is an act of God. It's in the providence of God, even if it wasn't something remarkable. God did not stop acting through his providence just because it wasn't something remarkable. Every ordinary provision through the same old means every day is equally of God as the more vivid, remarkable acts of his providence. And I think the reason why we go through times of financial uncertainty and difficulty is so that we know how dependent we are on God on a daily basis. We need to ask him, give us this day our daily bread. When we go through difficult times, financial security issues, the future is up in the air, it's not as if God is losing power or is just less able to provide during those times. Like, God, this is going to be a hard one. God, are you going to be able to provide for me? Neither is it the case that just God's not giving the same amount of attention to your circumstances as previously. He's kind of letting things slip through the crack, and so now your financial security is up in the air. Rather, God raises up these circumstances in order to show us how dependent we really are on him. Dependent on him daily, moment by moment, second by second. And so we should be praying this petition, give us this day daily bread. And question 144, what is the fourth petition? And the answer is, give us this day our daily bread. We ask that you give to us everything which is needful for this life, that by these things we may acknowledge and confess you to be the only fountain from where all good things flow. We also confess that all our care and industry and even your own gifts are unfavorable and harmful to us unless you bless them. Grant that, turning our trust away from all creatures, we place and rest it in you alone. So we're going to look at three aspects of this petition. Provision, second, praise, and third, protection. So first, provision. The primary purpose of this prayer is that we are asking God to provide. We're asking him to provide everything which is needful for this life, everything that is necessary to live. We're not asking him to give us our best life now, to give us every material possession, to give us everything that we can dream, or to make this life as comfortable as possible. Rather, we are asking for the things that are necessary for our sustenance. Now, it's the only thing we can ask for is bread. If we ask for maybe fish or a steak dinner, getting a little bit greedy there? No, you're getting pretty greedy there asking for something like that. Should our only diet be bread? Well, this is yet another example of why we do not hold to a biblicist interpretation of Scripture. Biblicism is where we just stick to what the text literally says without using reason, a natural revelation, the light of nature, or any aid outside of ourselves to interpret the text. Biblicism is also accompanied by not using Scripture to interpret Scripture. So an example that sticks out in my mind of biblicism was a man I met years ago at church in Omaha, and he said that he did not sit in a particular seat in the break room at work because there was a particular perverse man who would sit in that seat. And he says, I'm not going to sit in that seat when he gets up. And he based it on Psalm 1 where it says, blessed is the man who does not sit in the seat of scoffers. And he held to that. He really believed that. Another example is Genesis 22 where God tests Abraham by telling him to offer up his son and says, now I know you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your only son. And I've read people say this proves that God is ignorant of certain things, that God grows in knowledge. And of course, that's not true. If you just take the text with a strict literalness and not use reason or any aid or scripture to interpret scripture, you will arrive at some of these erroneous conclusions. And so when we read, give us this day our daily bread, it's not the case that we're asking him to give us only one piece of food or literal bread. As our catechism indicates, it refers to all things that are needful for this life. You know this not only by reason, but also when we go on to read in Matthew 6, where Jesus says, God knows you need clothing. God knows you need drink. He will provide for you. Don't worry about these things. Those things are needful for life. It wouldn't make sense for Jesus to say you can only pray for bread, but you can't pray for the other things you need, you know, clothing. And you need to pray for this particular certain kind of food. That's the only diet you can have. That's not what he's saying. Based on scripture, interpreting scripture and plain reason, we understand bread to be a synecdoche. What's that? Some of you English majors know what it is, and you have smiles on your faces. A synecdoche is a literary device where a part represents the whole. So, for example, hey, would you give me a hand? And, of course, you know, some of you snarky teenagers would say, I can't take my hand off or something like that. Or, I'll give you a hand, but I'm not going to give you my legs. Or, well, when I say, when we ask for someone to give us a hand, we're not saying, literally, just give me one hand. We're saying, use your whole body to help me lift this up or whatever I need help with. And so the hand represents the whole body, all help that you can give me. And the same is true when it comes to bread. It's a synecdoche that refers to everything we need for provision. Simply put, we are asking God to provide everything we need for physical sustenance. And we are to ask this daily. This is not asking God one time to provide for the rest of our life, nor is it a prayer to be prayed every once in a while. Rather, we are to daily ask God to provide for us because this is how we express our dependence upon Him. That's how dependent we are upon Him. We are acknowledging our dependence upon Him for everything that comes to us. And as we acknowledge that everything comes from Him, we are also to be led to giving Him thanksgiving and praise for everything. And that brings us to the second aspect, and that is praise. The way our catechism puts it is that by these things we may acknowledge and confess you to be the only fountain from where all good things flow. If we daily pray to God for our provision, we are acknowledging every good thing comes from you. As Psalm 145, 15 through 16 says, the eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. So God is the source and provision for every living thing, even the means through which He works. And as we acknowledge this, we then give praise to Him and thanksgiving to Him. A third aspect of this petition is protection. Protection. That is, we are being protected from misusing God's gifts, mainly by turning them into idols. Our catechism says, we also confess that all our care and industry and even your own gifts are unfavorable and harmful to us unless you bless them. Grant that, turning our trust away from all creatures, we place and rest it in you alone. Now, this is why I really appreciate our catechism and men that have gone before us, teachers of the church, because this is not something I had previously thought about. But it makes sense in light of the scripture reference that the catechism gives, which is Acts 14, 16 through 17. This is where Paul and Barnabas are in Lystra, and they heal a man. They're preaching the gospel, and as they're preaching the gospel, they heal a crippled man, and the response of the people is to worship Paul and Barnabas and call them gods and say the gods have come down from heaven and to worship them and offer up the gifts to them. They were giving the creature glory for a good gift that came from the Creator. The healing came from God. Now, God worked through the means of the creature, but just because He works through means of the creation doesn't mean that we then bow down to those means. Rather, we give credit and glory to the Creator alone. But this idolatry is our natural tendency. As Romans 1 says, our sinful flesh worships and serves the creation rather than the Creator. In our sin, we place our ultimate hope in the things God has made, the legitimate means through which God works, the ability He has given us to make and earn wealth, the labors of our hands, the labors of others, the generous giving of others, the grocery store, the economy, etc. And when we can't see through what means God will work, then we begin to become anxious. Or when those means get threatened or removed, then we begin to become anxious because we're placing our hope in those means rather than in the God who is always in control and who promises always to take care of us. And we must utilize those means. We must work with our hands. We must exercise the things that God has given us and be good stewards. However, we do not then put our trust in these means. Rather, we continue to worship and serve the Creator and trust Him. Now, I remember a time when I was living in Omaha, and I had a year contract in a house I was living in with some roommates of mine. And I was getting married to Jackie in March, and the lease was going to be up in the summer, the end of the summer. And that means I would have to make two payments, one for the apartment that Jackie and I were going to rent when we got married, and the other one for this house I was going to vacate. And I crunched the numbers, and I'm like, I'm not going to be able to do this. And I was working full time. I had a job. I was utilizing the means God had given. But I did not know how I was going to make up for the difference. And I look back on it now, and it's really silly. I can't believe I was worried about it. But I was worried to the point where I could not fall asleep at night. I remember I was staying up. And then I remembered God's promise that He will provide in Matthew 6. Why do you worry? You know, He knows you need these things that God will provide. I was like, okay. So I know that promise. But then I started to think about, but how will God provide? And I tried to think through, what are some of the means God's going to provide through? And I couldn't see what the means were. And so I began to become worried and anxious again. And then I realized what I was doing is I was trusting in the means rather than in the God of those means. And that what I needed to do is I needed to trust God's promise. He will provide. God promised that. Even if I don't see the means, I don't wait until I see how God will provide. Rather, I trust His promise alone that He will provide. And so I lean heavily on His word, knowing that God's very character and glory was at stake if He didn't provide, because He promised He would. If He didn't, He would be a liar and He wouldn't be able to keep His promise. So I finally rested in my soul and was able to get some sleep. And the next day, I received a call from a friend who said, hey, do you have a place there in that house for me to live? I need to find a place. And this is November, December time frame, and I wasn't going to be out until March. So I'm like, not until March. He goes, well, that's perfect. My lease, the place I'm staying, is up in February. I was like, man, what is wrong with me? Why did I not trust God? But when I trusted Him, that's when God then revealed the means. God wanted me to trust Him. And we trust God, not when we see the means through which He will work, but because of His promise. And He will never forsake His promise. So when we are praying for God to provide, we are also implying that we will trust Him and not ultimately any creaturely means. This is one of the reasons we ask God to bless the food to the nourishment of our body. Ever wonder why we pray that? If it's food, then isn't it going to already naturally do that? Well, one of the main reasons we pray that is so that our hearts would use the provision God has given for its intended means, not so much asking the food to change, but for our hearts to change. We would use it for his glory and return praise to God alone and not idolize any creaturely thing, whether food unto gluttony or drink unto drunkenness, but rather that we would use God's gifts for their intended purposes and give him the glory alone that he deserves. And beloved, this is something that we are only able to do because of the gospel. Going back to Acts 14 with Paul and Barnabas in Lystra, they declare to the Lycaonians who are worshiping them, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them." They declare to them that there is good news to which they could respond, responding by turning from false gods to the one true living God. And that's good news in the sense of God is willing to forgive their foolishness. God is willing to forget their past foolish ways. God is saying, you can be reconciled to me. Yes, you have committed all these sins, but I will forgive those sins. I will pardon those sins. And you can come to me and know me, the true living God. They could come to him through his Son, the Lord Jesus. Jesus was the God, the only God who came down from heaven in human form, becoming a true man. He lived a perfect life in complete obedience to the law in our place, perfectly living for us, not worshiping any idols, utilizing God's means for their intended purposes, acknowledging and worshiping the Father and not creation, so that we would be clothed with the righteousness not of our own. We could stand on that righteousness, and he went to the cross and paid for all those times that we have worshiped and served the creature, past, present, and future, forgiving us all our sins. All the times that we've put our trust in our works, the works of our hands, our money, people, whatever means to provide, rather than acknowledging God, the fountain of all that is good, the fountain of all provision, who will never leave us or forsake us, who has goodwill towards us. He longs to provide for us and is able to provide for us and will always provide for his children. And part of the gift of the gospel is that he pours out his Spirit richly upon us so that we are not only delivered from the penalty of sin, but we are also delivered from the power of sin, so that we could be awakened from our deadness, from our blindness to God and know the true and living God and see the glory of God in the face of Christ. And this results then in a growing dependence upon him constantly through prayer, trusting him to provide, praising him as we acknowledge that everything ultimately comes from him, being protected from misusing his good gifts by depending upon them rather than the Father of lights, from whom every good and perfect gift comes. May we trust our good Savior who loves us, who gave his Son for us, and if he did not spare his only Son, then how much would he not give us all good things with him? Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask that you would help us to trust you. We know that we are prone to wander. We know that we are prone to trust many idols, and the minute that it seems like we don't know what the means are through which you will work, oh, we get anxious. But just because we don't see the means doesn't mean that you don't see them. And just because those means aren't obvious to us in our finite knowledge doesn't mean that you have lost any power or infinite ability. You are the God who has always provided anyway. no matter what the means. And so, Lord, help us to trust you. Give us, O Lord, daily, our daily bread. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
You have been listening to a message from Trinity Bible Church in Powell, Wyoming. To receive more information about Trinity Bible Church or to support the ministry, go to tbcwyoming.com. That is tbcwyoming.com.